Dr. Arnold Wong, Reverend Dr. Arnold Wong, and we're praise the Lord that he can share with us on Sanctity of Life Sunday. Pastor Wong has ministered extensively throughout the United States, both in California, Dallas, and even serving as senior pastor in Singapore for a number of years. He is the husband of Effie, and also seven daughters and many grandchildren. And although he has a litany of experience and ministry, we know him as Alicia's dad. And I guess we better get used to that. Pastor Arnold, pretty soon we aren't going to be famous for ourselves, but for who our children and grandchildren are, right? So it's appropriate that this morning he can share with us a message from God's Word on the sanctity of life. So please welcome Pastor Arnold Wong.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Pastor Wei. You're very kind, and I appreciate that very much. First of all, before I do anything else, I want to thank all of you, the whole Katy Community Church community and family, for helping my daughter and Ed through the horrible flooding. And we have been visiting them in their house these last few days, and you all did a wonderful job. That house is beautiful and so well appointed. And so from the bottom of our hearts to you, we thank you so much for all your love and care for them. Let's pray together. Father, as we come together, this is your time, this is your hour. This is the time when you will speak to us, to the matters that really matter. We pray, oh Father, that you would speak to us. Speak to us in your own indomitable way. Or, Father, you speak to us in love. You speak to us in truth. And, Father, what more can we ask? So, Lord, thank you for this time, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Across the nation, across America, multitudes of churches are celebrating what they call or designating this Sunday as Sanctity of Life Sunday. Now, for some of you, like me almost, I said, what is Sanctity of Life Sunday? Well, it's the day, it's the Sunday before the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision by the Supreme Court. And if you don't know what that is, what it was basically was it was a case that came before the U.S. Supreme Court where the issue of when and how babies can be aborted. And so this became very complex, very controversial. But in 1973, this is the 45th year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the decision for aborting a baby is between the woman and her doctor. And so what this basically did was that it dismissed all the state laws, no matter what state you came from, and it put the whole country under one law. And that was basically the idea that it's abortion on demand. If a person decided in their heart that they wanted to abort their baby, they could do it. They could arrange to do it, and it would not be illegal. And so this is why this Sanctity of Life Sunday has come about. Because this is a way for churches and community of Christians to stand up and declare where they stand on this. How precious is life? And so that's why different churches and different pastors will give messages on the different aspects of this decision. Now, as we look at this, it's way more complex than anything anyone can handle in just a few minutes. And so for just a minute, I want to set you back to probably what I think is one of the basic and core issues of this idea of abortion. And that is, what does God think about children? What is God's plan and purposes for children? And I think that after you hear this, after you hear God's plan and purposes for children, you'll come to a very good conclusion on what side of the issue you stand. Because this is why we are here this morning, is to present this to you. Now, I want you to turn together, let's turn together in our Bibles to Psalms 127, verses 3 to 5. In this passage and in many others, God reveals high and noble plans and purposes for humanity and for children in particular. All right? So, because each of us started out as a child of somebody, this applies to all of us, all right? And so we can't run away from this and say, well, that's for them, you know, that kind of thing. No, this is for all of us here in this sanctuary. So the first thing that we realize in Psalms 127, verse 3, is this, that God sees children as a precious gift from Him. Look at verse 3. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, if you look at this, just the casual reader will see two very special words. The word gift and the word reward. In other words, children are meant to be a blessing and not a burden to us. Okay? Now, I know there's parents out there sitting with their arms crossed and say, prove it to me. You know, my kid is more of a burden than a blessing, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Hear me out. What does it mean that he's a gift? The Hebrew word for gift there is actually the word heritage. And again, you might sit out there, what's a heritage? The easy answer to that is that it is a legacy. It is a legacy. It's what one generation leaves behind for the next. It's God's way of preserving families from one generation to the next. God meant children to be a personal and lasting legacy for good, for families, for communities, for cities, for nations, and the whole world. Now, I know you're sitting out there and say, wow, my kid, a legacy? My kid meant for good? My kid will be able to impact maybe the whole world? That's right. Every child comes into this world as God permits and as God designates with the full idea that they are meant to be a legacy, not just for their generation, but for generations to follow. And that's where this is coming from. If you have a child or many children, this is one of the many gifts and blessings that God can give to couples. Now, don't read too much into this passage, because we must avoid the temptation of saying, well, me and my wife and my husband have been married for X number of years, and we just haven't been able to have children. I guess God doesn't want to bless us. You know, that kind of thing. It must be some kind of weakness. It must be some kind of judgment for some past sins. Well, don't be so quick. That verse doesn't say that. All it says in that verse is children are a gift from the Lord. How many different blessings and gifts can God give to an individual or to a couple? The list is endless. He's just saying that children is one of those, okay? And so please do not read into this verse any more than what it says. Some couples not be able to have children or have not been blessed yet with this. And so, but they are given other gifts as well. The couple of the church that I know of, they were so sweet. I mean, they were the sweetest couple you could ever imagine. And for some reason, they were not able to have children. And after many years of marriage and testing and all of this kind of stuff, they decided they weren't just going to sit back and, you know, sort of just stew, you know, God withhold this for me. But rather, they became the father and mother. They became the auntie and uncle of countless children in the church. And so they ministered to the families. They ministered to other couples. They ministered to children. And they, as it were, they had a huge legacy they were living to a huge audience. And that's how they decided to handle this, until God should rule otherwise. You see? And so children are a gift to the Lord. Make no mistake, they are precious and a priceless gift from Him to us. So that's the first thing. And so if we look at children today, and we look at some people, how they treat them, and some people, how they provide for them or don't provide for them, they don't have a very high view of children. But God says, I do. I consider them a blessing. I consider them a gift from me to you. So let's get that down first. The next thing that we need to get down is that God sees children making an impact. Chapter 127 of Psalms, verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Notice that phrase, arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now, at the time this was written, an arrow was a very powerful weapon in the hands of a skilled warrior. An arrow can have a huge impact on the outcome of a battle, all right? You can win and lose based on how good your arrows were. A warrior puts in a great amount of effort to make sure his arrows are carefully made, prepared, and aimed to achieve their full impact. Okay? You got that picture? Our children must be carefully nurtured, prepared, and directed also. All right? To help our children develop and achieve their full potential, we need to practice both defense and offense. You got it? I know the Super Bowl is coming up, so some of you are already thinking about, you know, what TV you're going to buy. Get that out of your mind. All I'm talking about is we must practice defense and offense. What do I mean by defense? Of course, parents must protect and keep their children from bad influences, addictions, and habits. And, for example, people, drugs, and immoral practices. That's defense. That's defense, okay? And so we do all that we can. We monitor our television sets. We put parental permission only on certain channels and things like that. We make sure that the stuff that our kids are reading is healthy stuff. And we make sure that they don't hang out with the wrong people on the street corners late into the night and so on and so forth. That's defense. You have to have defense. But where we fall short sometimes is offense. Offense. And this is where we actively go and give the children opportunities and get them actively involved in positive activities. Activities where they can be engaged in to serve the Lord. To do good. All right? They will develop in ways that will awe and astound you. As parents, it is good for us to give some thought about goals we have for our children. Well, Pastor, what's your point here? Well, while our goals for our children may be good, they may fall short of being great. You ever thought about that? The goals for our children may be good, but not great. And so as a result, our children will not reach their full potential. They will not make the impact for which God designed them for. Oh, come on, Pastor. Now, you got to really help us out here. Okay? For example, the typical Asian family decides that they're going to do this for their children. This is their goal. Number one, get a good education. Okay? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands because parents are all sitting. Get a good education. Okay? Next one is find a good career. Okay? Get a good career. You know, be an MD, be a lawyer, be an engineer, stuff like anything else. Okay, we'll think about it. All right? But we have those ideas. Good career. Then marry a good spouse. That's important. Marry one that can cook. Marry one that can clean. And a lot of husbands can do that. All right? And so this is what we aim for our children. And then we say, live in a good neighborhood. Live in a good house. Why? Because I'm going to come live with you when I get old. You see? And that's the goal that Asian families have for their children. There's nothing wrong with those. There's nothing wrong with those, okay? But they're good. But are they great? Well, Pastor, help us out again. What do you mean by great? Okay? What do you mean by great? Well, for example, it is good for us not only to make our children book smart, we must make them life smart. We must make them life smart as well. To not only be intelligent, but also be people of good character, who will react and respond to life situations with integrity and uprightness. You know, we oftentimes like to simplify things. So we say, I want my children to have a high IQ, intelligence quotient, right? And then some of us will say, well, we want to balance that off. So we want our children to have a high EQ, meaning emotional quotient, okay? They can handle their own emotions and they can diagnose the emotions of other people, all right? We want that. I want to give you a PQ, a PQ. A PQ means a personality quotient or personal quotient. And what we want for children is also that they develop the ability to be people of passion and people of compassion. All right? That's what we want. This is what God wants for our children. And so we want to make sure that our children are developed in that way. We don't want them to be just, we want them to be patient. But we also want them to be persevering. You see, things in life don't come easy, right? Right. Okay? And we need to have children who are developed in such a way that they can develop in those areas. We want children who not only can write, read and write, but we want them to be able to speak. All right? We want them to be able to speak. And that's important. To be able to declare their thoughts, their feelings, their dreams, and their hopes. Their disappointments. We want them to be able to express those in accurate and intelligible ways. And so IQ is fine. EQ is fine. But don't forget about PQ. All right? We need to have them developed in all those ways. So let me ask you a question, parent. If you're a parent, what are the goals for your children?
Well, I want, if they're a merit scholar, that would be nice. That would save me a lot of money for my schooling, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, great. Great. But tell me something. Can your kid be in the middle of a group of people and be able to work as a team? To be able to express and contribute well their ideas and their hopes and their values in a group?
Oh, okay, I leave that to the church.
You know, the church isn't a bad place. Some people often ask me, they say, well, Pastor, where's a good place that my children can have learn leadership skills and good work habits and learn how to experience and practice encouragement? Learn to handle victories and defeats. The church is a great place. Church is a great place. As they work with others in the peer group, in the Sunday school class, in the youth group, and all so on and so forth. That's a wonderful place. Oh, but I want them to study for the SAT. When's the SAT coming? Oh, 3-5 years from now. A little early, okay? How about investing some of that time and allowing your kid to go to these things and pick up those skills that they will need and use the rest of their lives? So God sees children as powerful and needing, but needing development and direction to make an impact. And we as parents, we as adults, have that opportunity to be part of that development and that direction. Children are precious. Don't underestimate that. They are a gift from God to us. They are meant to make an impact. Now, whether they will make an impact, that's between God and them. All right? But God's design and plans and purposes is that our children make an impact. Okay? Now, the last point is, God sees children as being a great asset to the family. Look at verse 5, please. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, notice here it says, blessed is the man. It doesn't say, cursed is the man. Okay, I know parents are sitting out there and saying, oh, you don't know my kid, you know. Now, you are blessed, okay? Now notice here he talks about quiver. Quiver was the special packaging that the warrior would carry, and he'd hold his arrows in it, all right? And there are different size quivers, and God decides what size that quiver may be. When we went to Singapore, people were shocked. They were awed. They were dumbfounded when they heard that we had seven children and that we had 17 grandchildren. And, you know, at that time. And then we've added some more. So this year we're going to have two more grandchildren, so we'll have 20 altogether. All right. A few stars for me at Chinese New Year time. When we pass out those red envelopes, man, it's getting harder and harder. All right. But you see, God has decided that my wife and I have a pretty large quiver, and he's not bashful about filling it. Okay? But big is not always better. All right? It just means there's a whole lot more responsibility. And somehow, some way, my wife is able to handle a large quiver of kids. And so we have a large bunch of kids. It doesn't make us better than anyone else. It doesn't make us, you know, smarter than anyone else. It makes us poorer than most people around us. But God has decided what size our quiver is. So let God decide what that is. And that's probably based upon our own temperaments, gifting and resources, location, and even motives. And so that's good that decision is in the hands of God. He knows much better than we do. Well, if you look closely at the second half of 127, it talks about they will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, what is that all about? Okay, at the gates of the city, the elders or the leaders of the community would conduct business, and wise men will rule on different matters, debates and disagreements and conflict between people. Now, what this particular proverb has in mind here is when an innocent father is accused, one with many children will be able to count on them to come alongside to help and defend him. Okay? So I'm figuring out that if I ever get falsely accused of something, I've got seven kids these people are going to have to stare down. All right? And that's pretty intimidating. You don't know my daughters. They're pretty tenacious, all right? And so they will come. And that's what they're saying here. So we can extrapolate from that and say that our children will be our protectors. They will be our protectors, okay? And so this is what he has in mind. Children are a gift. Children are meant to make an impact. Children are meant to be protectors of their parents. Okay? Now, it is important that children of every generation understand and fulfill their roles as protectors and providers for their parents. And so it's going to be good for us to stop for a minute and ask ourselves, what is God's plans for parents and children to get along? Okay? How is this all going to be lived out? I've been at this a while, and I've heard some very sad stories about the relationship between parents and their children. All right? And it's not funny. It is not a happy thing. It's most of the time, it's pretty sad. So how can we work together? How can parents and children work together? First of all, by guarding their hearts. By guarding their hearts. Okay? I didn't say protect or guard your pocketbook or anything like that. I said guard your heart. Why? Well, if you look at this, you see that many of the instructions that are given to us by God have to do with the heart. For example, like in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 31, it says this. It says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So, parents, love your children. Children, love your parents. Okay? It's easy to see that in that passage. But how is that going to be lived out? Well, here's ways you can do that. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart, got to see it? A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your what? Hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. So, how do you get along with your parents? How do parents get along with their children? By loving them. By loving them. In these ways, showing compassion, and so on and so forth. But I want to call your special attention to that last, very last word in verse 15. And this is, and be thankful. Now, children, listen up to me. Listen up, okay? One of the best ways that you can show love to your parents is by being thankful. It's by being thankful. We had a young man in our church. He was outstanding. When he graduated from high school, he was accepted by Harvard, Yale, all the big schools, all the name brand schools. And in the end, he ended up at Duke University. He finished it in 3 years. He went to work for one of the best consulting firms in the United States. Now he works for a private equity fund, and he is very successful. So I went up to him one day, and I just said, so-and-so, his name isn't so-and-so, but I said, so-and-so, I said, what's the formula? How can you be such a sweet kid and be so successful? And he said, you know what? He said, I'm not spoiled. I'm thankful. And that's what sets him apart. And so children, you're saying to yourself, how can I show love to my parents? Parents to your parents is be thankful. Have a thankful spirit. And that will go a long way into showing love. And then there are other passages, and I flashed them up on the screen for you because we won't have time to read all of them. But it's also listening to them. It's also listening to them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Yeah, I know. I've heard it all. I've heard it when children come and they say, but my parents don't know anything. What do you mean they don't know anything? Well, they don't know how to work an iPhone. They don't know how to, you know, work. They don't know anything about the web. Oh, they don't know anything about this and they don't know anything about that. Yeah, but they know a lot about life. They know how tough it can be. And they can help you around the corners of life. So listen to your parents. Honor them. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And it says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives to you. Honor your parents. Come on, man. Don't address your father as dude. And, you know, hey, you, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, show them some respect. Show them some honor here, all right? They're mom, they're dad, they're baba and mama, and whatever terms you like to use. But use them to honor your parents. And then care for them. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it says in verses 4, starting with verse 4, it says, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. Sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. It says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Then drop down to verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So involved in guarding our heart is to make sacrifices for our parents. It involves caring for them in special ways. And so children can get along with their parents by doing these things. And parents can get along with their children by listening and doing these particular things. Now, a word about listening, okay? For example, I know that many parents are very proud. They don't want to show their children any weakness. We have weaknesses, but we don't want our children to know. You know, that's death, you know. And so what happens? Our children come home and they say, "Hey, Dad, I just learned about this new app. And it'll save you, you know, tons of hours on the business and how to keep the books and all that kind of stuff." "Son, I've done this for 45 years this way, and I know best. I will hear no more about it." Well, something like that. Okay. So your child goes away and says, "Wow, okay. Can't help Dad this time. Can't help Mom this time." You know, this kind of stuff. But what happens is that our children are very astute when it comes to things that involve a computer and apps and so on and software and so on and so forth. It would be wise for us as parents to heed the advice of our children who are more versed in things than we are. Growing up, my wife and I, you know, being in the pastorate, we faced some financial challenges having seven children. How are we going to get them all through college? Oh, by the way, they're all college graduates. In fact, almost all of them have their master's degrees except one. Okay. And some of them even have doctorates. Okay. But I'm trying to say, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Well, one day one of our children came to us and they said, "Hey, we were at church and we heard this financial planner, Christian financial planner came in. And he set us down and he got everything all lickety-split. And we're doing good." That same child came to me and said, "We're finished. We're ready for retirement." And they're only in their 40s. And they said, "Holy simole, what are we supposed to do with that? You know, tell me how you do it. Tell me how you do it." So I got the advice of the financial planner without playing the financial planner. Yeah. You see? Okay? So he also listened to your children. Don't just dismiss them automatically as being ignorant of life and everything that follows. Okay? So this stat goes for both parents and children. The other thing is by minding our manners and conduct. And this means valuing the wealth of experience and wisdom our parents may have accumulated over the years. Oftentimes the hard way. Oftentimes the hard way. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. What is gray hair? I got a lot of gray hair. You want to go gray hair? This is gray hair. Okay. What is gray hair? Gray hair refers to experience, okay? And so we ought to heed and value the wealth of experience and wisdom our parents have. There are things they know and situations where they have been that we may not yet know about or have experienced, okay? Don't be too quick to dismiss their perspective as irrelevant, okay? I don't have enough money. I would be a very rich man right now if all the times my daughters came to my wife and talked about dating matters. Okay? What do I do about this guy? What do I do about this? What's the next stage? And my wife would sit down with the girls and help them go through that minefield. You see, they've learned a few things over the years. It's like that Farmers Insurance commercial. We've seen a few things, so we know a few things, you see? So your parents, don't just write them off, okay? And then, depending on the grace, and the second thing is valuing the wealth of experience, and then depending on the grace of God, that God gives to the humble. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10. James chapter